Good morning. Well, this is the fun part. This is where I end and the Holy Spirit gets to take over. So I hope that he chooses to follow my outline at least closely so that both Christy and you guys can be able to follow along. The booklets are there just to help you be able to jot down what the Holy Spirit is really speaking to you. I believe fully that there is a reason for every one of you to be here. There's a specific word for you to hear, and I want you to really just take a minute and pray that you are open and the Holy Spirit's leading in you in order to hear what it is that he has to say. All the scripture references are in there. If something rings a little bell in your mind, I encourage you to star it, circle it, do something so that you can go back later and study the scripture around it. Study what the Bible was saying. Who was talking at that time? What was going on in their life to delve deeper into what the Lord is starting to work in your life? So our event is called Destiny, Keys to Finding the Treasure Within, and how we can live out what the Lord has for us. One of the resources I used when I really started to delve into what I was actually going to say, more than a theory and into reality, Tony Evans, who is someone that the men are doing studies with right now, so I kind of got his name from Tony, wrote a book called Discover Your Destiny. So I figured, well, that's probably a good place to start. And a lot of quotes from today will be from that book. And he defined destiny by saying, your destiny is the customized life calling God has ordained and equipped you to accomplish in order to bring him the greatest glory and achieve the maximum expansion of his kingdom. Keep in mind that your purpose isn't just about you. It's about God and his kingdom agenda, right? Your purpose and your destiny will never be just about you. It's always about the expansion of God's kingdom. It's always about other people. And we're going to talk a lot about that today. First, I want to talk about a few truths that we find in the Bible about the destiny, about what the Lord has to say about how we should live out our lives and how he's going to tell us how to do that. We will spend some time later combating the lies that we believe. If any of what I say in the next few minutes makes you think, yeah, right, that's not for me, I want you to star it and circle it because that's a lie that you're believing from the devil. And that'll be something that you need to work on combating later today or in your devotions or whatever. So the first truth that we need to believe is that God has a purpose for you, right? If you don't believe that, then it's going to be hard to really go through the process of figuring it out. So Ephesians 1:11 says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. We are a part of his plan for his entire kingdom. He's the master planner. He's got everything out on a board and he's moving things around. And we have to understand that we have a part. We have a perfect plan and then we have what we choose to do. And he continually is moving things around in order to line things up for the best effect for his kingdom. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Before he even started, he had a plan. When he created you, he had a plan. Sometimes we make him revise the plan based on our decisions, but he always goes back to his master plan. And Psalms 139:13-17 says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. So all these verses we can see, God has a plan. We could go through tons more verses. But you have to understand, God has a plan for you, and he created you a specific way to fulfill that specific plan. The second truth that we need to understand is that God will reveal his plan to you. Nobody wants you to know your plan better than God wants you to know your plan, because it's not very effective to him if he keeps it a secret from you. So he wants you to know what that plan is. So he will reveal it to you. In Isaiah 43:16 through 19, it says, "Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." He's asking us to look for those things, to see them as for what they are. What is God doing with this situation? How is he leading me through this? And the last truth as we get started is that God is not done with you yet. If you are still on this earth, he still has a purpose for you. He has a reason for you to be here where you are. He has a reason for you being here today. He has a reason for your current life situation, and he can use that. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Right? So he numbers your days, and he has a plan. So you're never too old, you're never too young, you're never too busy, you're never too bored, you're never too hurt, you're never too sick. The God has a purpose, and he has your days numbered, and he has a reason. Okay, living on purpose. This entire event came from this diagram. I found it and it like lit up inside of me. It's like, this is what people need. And what we're going to talk about today, there's three circles in one diagram. On the left, they're a little bit more spread out, and on the right, they're together. And we're going to talk about how you can merge the three parts of your life. And the first one on the bottom is missions, the mission. We all have the same mission. It's the same for all Christians. To make multiplying disciples through evangelism and discipleship. We're all called to bring glory to God, and we're all called to expand his kingdom. So that's common. That's everybody has those same calls in their life. Ephesians 4:11 through 13 says, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So in Ephesians, Paul is stating there's all these different people, callings, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, but we're all doing it for one purpose, to equip saints, to build the body of Christ, and to attain unity. Spiritual gifts are designed to empower the church, and the church's job is to spread the kingdom. So we're all working together with our different gifts to do this. So it's the same mission for all Christians. And the last thing about the mission is, again, it will always involve other people. Ecclesiastes 4:9 through 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. So as you all know, I'm very involved at the girls' ministries. I'm the coordinator here at the church. I've just gone through and did all of the honor sponsors for all the levels. And you always pay attention when things come up more than once, right? So this verse is in the Stars, it's in Friends, it's in Girls Only. Like, these girls are memorizing this every couple of years over and over. That's how important it is to remind them. It's about other people. Join together with them, but also encourage and lift them up when they fall down. So one circle is our mission. That's the same for all of us. Then another circle is, what is your current reality? And this is not the same for any of us, right? So, are you young, old, are you middle-aged? Are you single? Are you married? Are you widowed, divorced? Are you healthy? Are you sick? Are you strong? Are you weak? Do you have no kids, young kids, old kids, teenage kids, out-of-the-house kids, grandkids? All these things are your current reality, and there's so much more. But the Lord knows that, but that's a part of our puzzle, right? We don't live in bubbles because then we wouldn't be affecting other people. So you have your mission, you have your uniqueness, your current reality, where you are in life. And then the last bubble that we're going to talk about is your uniqueness. This is how God made you who you are and what he wants to do with that. 2 Corinthians 5:5 says, "Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." And then Exodus 9:16 says, "But I have raised you up for this very purpose." So we're going to speak about different things that combine together create your uniqueness, and they're going to help you figure out, if you haven't already figured out your destiny, or help pinpoint your destiny of what the Lord really designed you to do. The first thing is, what are your interests? What interests you? What do you enjoy doing? You can rest assured that the Lord will not give you a destiny that you hate. You have to trust him in that. He's not going to give you something to do that is totally outside of what you want to do. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't times you will have to do things that you don't enjoy, but your overall destiny, what God created you to do, is going to line up with the interests that he gives you. And sometimes you have to try a lot of things to really find your interests. Different parts of life, your interests will change, what you like to do and how you enjoy doing them. So that how God made you will always line up with what he made you to do. So he's going to give you the right tools to do the job that he has for you. Also, pay attention to your abilities and your talents. What are you naturally good at? What are you wired to do? Are you more of a doer or a thinker? Are you more musical or art or analytical and thought-provoking? Are you more organized or are you more of a free spirit? We're going to talk a little bit more about personalities as well, but what are your abilities and talents? What are you just naturally good at? What can you just kind of pick up and go with? I think about, my husband's a car guy, and a lot of you guys have car guys in your life, so maybe you'll understand this, but if you were going to design a car, any car you wanted, you're going to figure out first what its purpose is, and then you're going to design it around that. So if we're going to create a vehicle that can pull a big, huge tractor and trailer combination, or we're going to create a drag car, right? Two totally different vehicles. You're going to put different components into it. So I found out recently, like a drag car, they won't even put air conditioning in it because it decreases the power of the car. Now, if I'm going to go on a road trip with my family, I would never pick a car without air conditioning. But for that purpose, they don't want it in there. It hinders the car, where I'm like, what car, what vehicle should ever not have air conditioning, right? And if I'm going to have a big truck, it's going to have a really big engine, and it's going to suck gas like crazy. But if I want to go on a family vacation, go by myself somewhere on a long trip, I don't want a car like that. I want a little engine that just does really well and can just cruise down the road, right? So the components we put into the vehicle is going to be based on the purpose we have for it. Okay, so it's the same with the Lord. The Lord already predestined your purpose, and then he formed you around that. So you have to listen to the way he formed you. Because the car without an air conditioner is like, I don't have an air conditioner. Why wouldn't you put one in me? Like, I don't want an air conditioner in you. I'm one. We only drive, like, you know, from here to there anyways. I don't need an air conditioner. But you hinder, that would hinder your ability to be as powerful as you are. The next thing we look at is our passions. What moves you? What, when that topic comes up, you like have a fire down in your soul, like we talked about. Like it just like burns, like all of a sudden you find yourself standing to talk instead of sitting. All of a sudden you know, you just have this passion inside you. It brings you to tears when you hear certain things. Everybody has different passions, and that's how the Lord created you. Some are very passionate about animals, and that's not a passion of mine. But I'm passionate about the lives of Christians. I'm passionate about being powerful for the Lord. I'm passionate about, you know, going for it and giving it your all. Listen to the passions. What, when you're in a conversation, kind of just stirs that up inside of you. It's a pinpoint. It's a way that the Lord made you. And what the passion can do is it keeps you going when things get rough. because our walk is never going to be straight. It's never going to be just easy. There's times the Lord just says, put your head down and work. There's times that you have to go through battles to continue on your way. And the passion that the Lord gave you, that burning in your soul, is going to keep you going when things are rough. When things get boring, when things are slow, all those parts of life where it's not as much fun. But if you keep that passion burning, then you're going to continue on that course. All right, personality. If you have to become someone else to do the job, then it's someone else's job to do. It's one of the best things I can say. God, he created, you can't do someone else's destiny because he wouldn't create you to do that. You can't look at someone else and say, I want to do her destiny. I want to do what she did. Maybe you can run alongside her if your interests and abilities and personality and passions line up. But if you can't do it with what God gave you, then it's not yours to do. Be comfortable and okay with that. Personalities. I'm going to talk about two different personality type, like tests that I'm most familiar with. There's other ones out there. There are resources. So on the bottom of the pages, I put websites. You can go on and do free personality tests. And then once you do that, or you can look on those sites, it gives you tons of information. I'm going to very briefly cover this, but your personality are so broad and so complex. But that's, again, how God wired you. Understanding your personality as well as understanding other people's personalities are really key in working together as teams, working together to build the mission that God has for us, which always involves other people. Sometimes just understanding yourself can give you a lot of freedom to just be yourself. That's just how I am. It doesn't give you freedom to sin. It doesn't give you freedom to not go through the sanctification process that we'll talk about later. But sometimes it's just like, I know with my brother, he has a very unique personality. And so the more he studies his personality, the better he can understand it. And he can explain it to other people. He can say, this is why I need this time. This is why I react this way. This is, because of my personality. And so, but it gave him power as an adult to really understand. And then he can help other people understand theirs as well. So the first one is called the DISC, or DISC personality. There's just four components, and you're of combination of these four things. You're a D, I, S, or a C. Usually you have one high one, and then one that's like a secondary, and then two that are lower. Some people are much more even. Some people are very high in one. If you're really high in one and really low in the others, usually means you probably need to work on bringing that down just a little, kind of bring up a few of the other ones. So they are dominance, influence, steadiness, and compliance. And your amount of each of these in your personality is going to predict your behavior, how you react to people, what you do in situations. So if you're a D, that's for dominance, you're going to deal with problems, assert yourself, and control situations. So no one probably guessed I am a D. So you deal with situations, but people come to you, they're like, what do I do? And you just give them a flat answer, and you're like, on your way, you know? So a D is going to be probably in charge. An I is influence. It's how you deal with people. You communicate and you relate to people. If you're an I and you walk in the room, there's immediately like a crowd around you. People are drawn to you. You just influence people by how you are and who you are. You're kind of the life of the party, usually. Yeah. Sue, Renee, eyes, they're a lot of fun. An S is for steadiness. You're patient, you're persistent, you're thoughtful. S's are very family oriented. They care, the structure, they care for people. And they have like an even temperament usually. And C for compliance, you're organized. You like procedures, responsibilities, rules. Let's follow everybody. Just follow the agenda. We'll be good. That's a C. So you're a combination of these. But as you figure it out, you can really kind of get to know why you act and why you react the way you do in certain situations. The website is in your notes. Go ahead. once you do the test, it'll kind of tell you, like, this is how you are, this is what this means, and it's kind of fun to get to know those kinds of things. When you're around people and they know this, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, okay, well, she's a D, so that's why she's doing that. And it kind of gives you some power in knowing that. All right, the other one my brother introduced me to, it's the Myers-Briggs. It's very, very popular. The website is 16personalities.com. Take the test. There is so much information. There's 5 different letters, and you can be a combination of 2 letters for each letter. You know, so you're going to have 5 letters. So there's all different combinations of what these could be, you know, 16 of them, 16personalities.com. And it gives you tons of information, basic information, how you react to people, how you are in work situations, how you are in personal situations, how you are in all these different situations in life, how people should react to you, how you can help react to people who are this personality. If you take the test and you read that thing and it isn't like hilariously accurate, then maybe look at a few that are similar, because when you find the right one, sometimes the test depends on your mood that day. If you find the right one, it will be so accurate, it's like funny. Like, oh, it describes your relationship, like how would you know this? It describes your work situations. It describes how you react to people. So it's really fun, but it's really important also to get the people around you to take it and get to know what they are. You figure out what your boss is and how you can best react and help him or her, or why does he do it this way? And you get to know that's just his personality. That's how God created him. So how can I best come in and support that person? Your spouse is a huge one. Your kids. Now, if they're young, their personalities aren't quite formed or kind of hard to pinpoint. But I can, you know, pick up certain things and say, okay, I need to act differently towards this. So I need to react. I need to speak in different ways. I need to not put my stress on this one because they can't handle it the way the other ones can. Okay, so it's 5 different aspects, and you're 1 of 2, typically, like higher in one than the other. The first is how we interact with our surroundings. Are you introverted or extroverted? You're gonna be an I or an E. Introverted individuals like things by themselves, and they get exhausted in social interactions. That does not mean they don't enjoy social interactions, but they need time alone to recharge. So I actually am an introvert. I love being with you guys. I love spending time. I want to be at everything, but if I don't have my time to myself, I get drained, and then I get tired, and then I get exhausted, which are all different words. And when they all hit at the same time, it can be hard. But I am an introvert. An extrovert gets energized by being by people. They love group activities. They always want to be involved in stuff. And that actually invests in them. That gives them the breath and the power. So it's what gives you your power and recharges you. Your energy. How do you see the world and process information? You're either an S or an N, which is weird because that's not the first letter of either of the words. An S is observant, highly practical, pragmatic, and down to earth. You have strong habits and focus on what is happening or has already happened. You kind of like, you know, evaluate the details, look at what happened in the past, and that's how you process. Intuitive individuals are imaginative, open-minded, and curious. You want something new, novel, over stability. You want to find the hidden meaning, the future possibilities. You're kind of looking forward to make your decision. What could we do different today that we haven't done before? Can I find a new way to wash the dishes today? Can I find a new way to vacuum the floor? I'm like, just vacuum the floor like this. You do the dishes like this. You know, so it's just different personalities. They're the ones that are going to create a new way to do something. I'm just going to follow the rules of how it's been done before. Nature. How do we make decisions and cope with our emotions? Thinkers focus on objectivity and rationality. They prioritize logic over emotions. They tend to hide their feelings and see efficiency as more important than cooperation. Let's get it done, get it done, get it done. Feelers, they're sensitive and emotionally expressive. They are more empathetic and less competitive. They focus on social harmony and cooperation. So they're people-oriented. Thinkers are task-oriented. That makes it easier to understand. Tactic reflects your approach to work, planning, and decision-making. People who are J's, it says judging, but it's not like judging like you're judging other people. It's just the word they use. They're decisive, thorough, and highly organized. They value clarity, predictability, and closure, preferring structure and planning to spontaneity. They want to kind of be in charge. The J's want to be in charge. P's, prospecting. They're good at improvising and spotting opportunities. They tend to be flexible, relaxed, and they prefer to keep their options open. Kind of go with the flow. Whatever, it's good. Whatever, we're good. Okay? And then those were the first, like, four, and then they added this A or this T on at the end. It shows how confident we are in our decisions and our abilities. Assertive individuals are self-assured, even-tempered, and resistant to stress. They refuse to worry too much and do not push themselves too hard when it comes to achieving goals. And T's are self-conscious and sensitive to stress. They are likely to experience a wide range of emotions and be success-driven, perfectionistic, and eager to improve. So you can see how finding out about all these different things, even about yourself, you think, like, I am me, so I should understand me. But then you do something, and you're like, who was that? Why would I have done that? Why would I think this thing? Why do I react this way? And so even at every stage in our life, we really have to evaluate where we are. You think it just seems weird that we don't know ourselves. But a lot of times we go through life not knowing ourselves. And so this gives you information. Also, how do you work with other people? Who in your circle of friends is the opposite of you in every single one of these? That gives you a lot of rounding and abilities. If you hang out with all people that are the same as you, well, if you're my personality, then that can sometimes cause trouble, right? You need some passive people. But it's just fun to get to know, and it's important to get to know, because that is a part of your uniqueness of who God created you to be. Right. Another part of your uniqueness goes to your spiritual gifts. So we have our talents, and then we have our spiritual gifts, and they're not one and the same. But the Lord can transform your talent into a spiritual gift. Okay? I'm going to go through some verses and then a whole list of spiritual gifts. I don't want you to write all these notes, but I want to explain them a little bit to you so that when something I say resonates with you, you can circle it on your paper and start to realize that maybe these are the gifts that God has given me or God has given to somebody else. Then you can affirm that in their lives. The spiritual gifts are just seeds that the Lord gives you. And in order for them to bloom into what he needs them to be, you need to take care of them and you need to feed them and you need to cultivate that and they need to grow. And they grow only through using them, little bits at a time, testing them out a little bit sometimes to see where the Lord is going to bring them. 1 Corinthians 12:4-11 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given the Spirit of message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongue. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So he is the one who will determine what gifts you get. Our job is not to seek the gift, but the giver, right? Because he knows what's perfect for you. If you go seeking after the gift of healing, but his gift for you is being a prophet or giving discernment, you're not seeking the right, you're not cultivating in the right field, and you're not going to find your true destiny that he has for you at that moment. So we need to trust, again, that God is the perfect giver of the gifts and know that it's the same Spirit, and he's working all these together to cultivate his kingdom. He's got the master plan, and we need to follow what he says. In 1 Peter 4:10, he says, "Each of you use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." So whatever gift you've been given, use to serve others. Cultivate the kingdom of God with what you've been given. So I'm going to go through the list of spiritual gifts and briefly describe what they are. This came from a website, spiritualgiftstest.com. I think that's written out in your book. Again, it's like a 100-question test. It doesn't take real long. I think this is one where it gives you 4 things. You pick which one is the most like you and which one is least like you. You just answer. I think this is the one that does that. And at the end, it'll tell you, like, you're, you know, this percent in these gifts, and you're like 0% in these gifts, and so you don't have to worry about those ones. But it gives you all this information. So if you want more information, it's out there. You just have to look for it. Administration, you like to organize, direct, and implement plans to lead others in the various ministries of the church. You're goal or task-oriented, and you're more concerned with details and organization. Apostleship, plant new ministries and churches. You go into places where the gospel is not preached, reach across cultures to establish churches in challenging environments. You raise up and develop leaders, call out and lead pastors, and so much more. The gift of discernment enables certain Christians to clearly recognize and distinguish between the influence of God, Satan, the world, and the flesh in a given situation. It's a huge gift of discernment. Because as we look at our lives and try to decide where God is leading us, if you don't have the discernment of the Holy Spirit, it's hard to say what's a roadblock from the Lord and what's a roadblock from the devil. Okay. Evangelism, given the unique ability by the Holy Spirit to clearly and effectively communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. Exhortation is just to encourage and to strengthen other people, to be the encourager. Faith, encourage and build up the church and the church's confidence in God. Giving, meet the various needs of the church and its ministries, missionaries, or people who do not have the means to provide fully for themselves. Healing, compassionate towards the sick and pray over them regularly. You have a great faith and trust that God can and will heal some and are not deterred when he chooses not to. Interpretation of tongues. It's given by the Holy Spirit to certain individuals to reveal messages spoken in an unknown tongue to God for the building of the church. Knowledge. Bring about understanding and to inform the church or individual believers. The person with this gift is usually well-versed in the scriptures and often has much committed to memory. Leadership. To care for God's people and lead them into deeper relationship with Christ and each other. The gift of mercy. To love and assist those who are suffering and walk with them until the Lord allows their burden to be lifted. Miracles. You have a heightened sensitivity to the presence and power of God through his Holy Spirit. They have a special measure of faith, and they desire for God to reveal himself and draw many to faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. The gift of pastoring is also the gift of shepherding. It's a calling and a gifting much like those who care for sheep. They're called and gifted to care for the spiritual well-being of a local church of God's people. Prophecy makes God's heart known to edify the church. This gift is for the benefit of both the believers and the unbelievers and is a sign that God is truly among his church. Serving. You're committed to spread the gospel. You serve in ways that benefit others with different gifts and ministries that are more public. Teaching. Help the church fulfill her ministry as a pillar and buttress of the truth. They hate when scripture is abused or used out of context. On content with ill intent. The gift of tongues is used to glorify God and, with the help of the interpreter, to edify the church. And the gift of wisdom, not only impart the truth and understanding to believers, but to invoke a response of holiness and worship lived out in the world and amongst God's people. Wisdom doesn't end with knowledge. It's expressed and transformed hearts and lives. It's a long list, but the reason it's long is that God is gracious and he has a lot to give us. And so I want you to really truly think, look at all these. No wonder we're not all the same, right? He's got different gifts in different ways. You can kind of intellectually say, given my personality and my talents, I'm more likely to be these different spiritual gifts. But again, the gift is God sanctifying those talents and sanctifying those things into really truly an anointing on that for your life, and not just plowing forward with, this sounds like it should be for me, so I'm going to do it, and really following what the Holy Spirit is leading in your life, and where the Lord's anointing continues to rise and you continue to get confirmation from other people and confirmation from the Word, and in those specific areas where it's continuing to grow. So the last part of your uniqueness we're going to talk about is your treasure. What have you been entrusted with? And what are your resources? Because that's part of your uniqueness and who you are. What are your treasures? So we're going to bring it back to the diagram with the circles. And the point of the whole thing is that what we want is for the circles to converge and to live in the spot where all three are together, where the mission, your current reality, and your uniqueness are all working together to expand the kingdom of God. How do you use where you are in life and how God made you to do the Great Commission? It's going to look a lot different for me at home with partially part-time job, family, kids that are all still in school, all that is part of my reality. So what I can do for the kingdom is going to be different than what someone who has their kids grown or who never married or who works full-time or who doesn't work at all. Those are your current situations, and the Lord is going to use those and meld those together through his power. What I want you to do now is to take a little bit of time to reflect. This information, these bubbles and the questions come from a website called Missional Women, and they do all this training and teaching for women's ministries. And they came up with these questions, and I thought they were very thought-provoking, and I want you guys to take a few minutes and go through and answer them to help you kind of start to direct your thoughts towards where the Lord is leading you. What kind of steps can we take in order to figure out our purpose, what God created us to be? What kind of steps can we use in order to find that? And the first one, I think is pretty obvious, is to pray. Tony Evans says, though, he reminds us, if you learn anything at all from Scripture about reaching your destiny, learn this. Do not go searching for your destiny. Go searching for your God. If all you do your entire life is do the best you can to please the Lord and answer yes to what he puts in front of you, you will reach your destiny. You will be doing what he wants from you. Seek that, not a specific spot, not a specific answer or a specific voila moment. Just seek to trust him in everything, to follow his word, to do what you feel like he has for you in each situation, and you will become what he wants from you. So the first thing we're going to do, if you truly want to seek your destiny, it's a conscious decision to, I'm not just going to live life, but I'm going to figure out what it is that you have for me, is to pray and ask the Lord to reveal it to you. Specifically ask for that. Again, like I said earlier, God wants you to understand your destiny more than you want to understand your destiny. His purpose is not to make it a secret that you have to go and find. He wants more than anything for you to live it out, so he will reveal it to you. In 2 Corinthians 5:5, it says, "Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose, who has given us his spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." We've read this verse already. But he has fashioned you for a purpose, and he's given you the spirit. And I believe, you know, that spirit is what's going to help reveal to you. He's going to guarantee that it's going to come. Jeremiah 29:11-13. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Perfect confirmation to seek after the Lord, and that is his answer. When you are fully seeking into him, his answers are revealed, and he will listen. And if he's listening, he's answering, because he's a good God. Psalms 138:3. "As soon as I pray, you answer me. You encourage me by giving me strength." Just a great verse for life in general, right? Who couldn't use encouragement and strength in our day-to-day troubles? And Proverbs 20:24, "A person's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand their own way?" So our steps are directed by the Lord. So if you have a director and you're in a play, the director's job is what? Tell you what to do. And your job is to listen to the director. The director doesn't keep his opinions quiet and hope you figure them out on their own. The director tells you specifically and clearly what he expects of you. And that's what the Lord is saying. He is directing our steps. So he's not intending you to figure it out on your own, not to keep it a secret, but he is going to be telling you where to go and what to do. So part of prayer is worship. But worship is just about how all of our lives are, right? That kind of came out funny, but worship is living in closeness with God. You worship through singing, but you also worship through the sacrifice of giving. You worship through your time. You worship through your energy. You worship in attitude. You worship in conversation. You worship in all of your life. It's like a spirit of worship. When you're in the spirit of worship is when you hear his voice. Sunday mornings, when in the part of the service we call worship, ushers in worship, but it's a spirit within us. When you're in a spirit of worship, true worship, what is it that comes to mind? That gives you a good indication of what the Lord's trying to say. Is it, you know, Sunday morning after Sunday morning, and when you're truly worshiping the Lord, what keeps coming to mind? Is that something the Lord is trying to tell you? You have to have discernment, because either A, it's a distraction from the devil, or B, it's the Lord's voice, and you need to learn the difference between the two. But if it's continuous and it's in that time when you know that you're truly worshiping, not the songs are going on and you're just playing your day out in your head. That's not true worship. But when you're in true worship, what is the Lord revealing to you? If you're worshiping the Lord in every part of your life, your destiny will be revealed. The Lord will be faithful, and there's no way you're not living it out if you're truly focusing on him for every decision of your life. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." If we just took that verse and went home, I think we'd all be doing pretty good. Whatever it is, you just do it to his glory. Another great way to find out what the Lord wants to tell you is to meditate on his word. It's a difference between read the Bible sometimes and meditate on his word. There's a difference between haphazardly reading and finding a structure to make sure that you're really getting into the word. And I'm not saying you have to do a specific one-year Bible or you have to do a specific structured devotional. Find one that speaks to you. Find something that's going to keep you focused. Don't just open your Bible and be like, okay, well, I've got two verses of time for you, God, today, so show me what you want in this time. Sometimes when we're really seeking something, you can put that out before the Lord and say, you know, I really need a word from you. But know your word. Really delve into the word. Pray before you open your Bible. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what he has for you today. The Bible is an amazing book because it just changes. The words don't change, but what it reveals to your heart changes, and the Lord speaks directly through it. Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." You ever read a verse and you feel that double-edged sword, right? It's like, oh, okay. You know, it just penetrates. You can feel that this verse come to life. It's alive. It's like, I have read this verse. I've memorized this verse. I know this verse. And all of a sudden, bam, it hits you. This is what this verse means for you today. This is how you need to react to this verse. It judges your attitudes of your heart. Are you listening to what it's saying? Because it is the attitude of the Lord. It's kind and it's gentle, but it's also firm and just. The word of the Lord. It's personal. It's written for everybody on creation, but it's personal to you if you look for it and you study it. The word of the Lord shows us the character and the personality of God. You get to know who God is and what his character is by studying the word. And unfortunately, by studying haphazard verses, the verses that you kind of hear and you know, gives you a glimpse, but you have to read it in an entirety to really get what the God's character is. Same as any book. You can read excerpts, you can read through the highlighted portions or somebody who studied it, but you're not going to get the full breadth of information without reading the whole thing. Philippians 4:8 and 9 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." So the whatsoevers are something our missionettes are really good at, our girls' ministries. And then in STARS, they get a kick out of learning it in two different versions, so they know the whatsoevers. But the next verse really dings to me. And I know it's not the Lord speaking, but the Lord speaks through the people that are writing. "So whatever you learned, whatever you received, whatever you heard, whatever you saw, however you saw me being, my personality, my character, that's what you should be." So the Lord is saying, I'm giving you all this information. No, it doesn't tell you how to drive your car down the road. It doesn't tell you this, but it gives you my character. Now go and be like that. And then the God of peace will be with you. Peace is my favorite word. Peace, peace and joy, peace and joy. If you ever want to know what to pray for me, it's peace and joy. Those are the two things I seek the most. The Bible is the standard against what we judge everything. Everything we hear, everything we see, everything we think, does it line up with the Bible? Do our feelings line up with the Bible? somebody gives you a word or a suggestion, does it line up with the Bible? Does the person in authority to you give you a task or a job or a command to do line up with the Bible? If we don't know the Bible, we don't know if it lines up. We don't know the character of that. Your destiny and the process of getting to your destiny will never contradict the Bible. The end does not justify the means if it goes against the Bible. This is a big one, because you may know that the Lord has something for you, or you're pretty sure this is the direction you should go. So then I may just skirt around this rule of the Bible, or I may cheat just a little bit because it's a good reason. Maybe I might cheat a little bit to get ahead in my job, but that's because the Lord has given me the gift of giving, and I'm going to give more to the church, but I may be a little dishonest in my job. Or, there's so many ways this could go, but the process of getting to your destiny will never contradict the Bible. It will never be God's way if it's not according to the word. It won't, because God can't lie. Another big way to find what the Lord has for you is to let others speak into your lives. Now, of course, I put this one after meditating on God's words for a very specific purpose, because it has to line up with the word. It also, when people speak into your life, you have to judge it against, does it line up with my uniqueness? Does it line up with my interest and my abilities? Does it line up with my giftings, my spiritual gifts that the Lord has given to me? Also, does it line up with what I'm already feeling? Is it a confirmation to me? Is it a confirmation of what other people have said to me? All those things. It can be a huge blessing to have someone speak into your life. But you always take it and meditate on it. Don't react simply to what one person says, but sometimes it's really the confirmation you're looking for. But it has to line up with the word. And the other part is make sure you are speaking into other people's lives. You may be the word that they need for that day. You may be the confirmation that they're looking for. And when you keep that to yourself, you're not being fair to that other person. So in love, speak what you hear the Lord saying and encourage that person. Now go meditate on this. See what this means to you. It's just something I've got. I don't know, sometimes we're wrong, and that's okay, because I'd rather you be stretching and growing in your seeds of spiritual gifts than to be afraid of using them wrong. Because we're all learning and we're all growing together. And so it's important to give each other some grace in that. Maybe sometimes we heard a little wrong, or sometimes our word was for someone else and we kind of got that wrong. Sometimes that happens. But speak into other people's lives and have them help them, let them speak into your life. If what they say really hits a chord, it maybe gets your dander up a little, you might want to listen to that too. So it may just be because it's not for you, but it may be because it's something that you're already kind of like arguing with God about, because you already know better anyways. And, someone else kind of pushes that button a little. So if your dander gets up, just seek the Lord and say, is there a reason I got a little defensive in that? A perfect word of advice I'd heard a long time ago, and I don't know if it really applies here, but just in life in general, is never take advice from someone you wouldn't trade places with. And I'm not saying that's not really what we're talking about here, but just in life in general, just do pay attention to who's giving the advice or the word. Look at their lives and, are they living for the Lord? Are they living out the word of the Lord? And so that can sometimes give you a clue as to how much to take into account what they're saying. The Lord does still speak through dreams. And there's a lot of resources to interpret your dreams, but I think the Holy Spirit can be a good guide. But there are reasons that he gives us dreams, and it's very scriptural for dreams. He used them a lot in the Bible. He speaks about them in different passages. So if you have a dream and it's one that you really, really remember when you wake up and you feel like there's something to it, write it down and get some advice from other people that you know. Because there are, I believe, people that are gifted in helping interpret dreams as well. Another thing that we can listen to in determining our destiny is our dissatisfaction. So this can be tricky because sometimes when we're on the right path, we go through periods of dissatisfaction. But sometimes when we're on the wrong path, the Lord uses dissatisfaction to get us off that path. So it can be a road sign. If you're miserable, miserable, miserable at your job, always miserable. You've talked to people. Nobody affirms you really like, hey, this is what you need to be doing. You need to stick through. People are, you pray, you seek counsel, and you're still always miserable. You do the things that you can do to make things better for yourself and for your job. That can maybe be a road sign that this isn't the direction the Lord has for you. He wants to uproot you and put you somewhere else. If you no longer find the joy and satisfaction in things that used to give you joy, might be a sign that it's time to move on to something else. That God may have another plan. But again, be careful because it may just be the devil putting his nasty head into it and telling you no long he doesn't want you there because he knows that that's really is your ministry and that's what God has gifted you to. I know it's very easy for me to desire for the Lord to take me out of my job and to move me into something else. But I seek that and I don't feel that that's really what the Lord would want. And people have spoken into my life and confirmed the fact that that is my mission field. And when I start to get really frustrated, I'm smart enough to go to those people and ask them to pray for me and listen to what the Holy Spirit says through them. Because I know that my dissatisfaction is just dissatisfaction in me. But there are times where there's ministries, even good ministries, where the Lord just kind of gives you this, like, this really isn't for me anymore. You don't see the results. You don't see that that's worth your time and effort. And the Lord is saying it's okay sometimes to put things down to pick other things up. We can't just continue to pick new things up. So just listen to that, but with prayer and guidance. We already talked about your gifts and your passions, so we don't need to discuss that too much anymore. But listen to those. Take those into account. What do I enjoy? What do I not enjoy? Where does the Lord lead me based on that? Have a healthy awareness of who you are and how God made you. These will give you insight into what he wants you to do. Again, he's going to line up what he made you to do with how he made you. And trust in God. He has a perfect destiny for you. He will not fail you. And he will not, like we said before, give you a destiny that you hate. But he also has a master plan. And we have to be okay with what job he has given us. Because we can't all do the same job. If we wanted to clean the church and we all chose to wash the windows, one, we'd get in each other's way. And two, nothing else would get done. So we'd all be staring at clean windows, but half of us would be discouraged because there was nothing for us to do. We came to work and clean windows and someone else already did it and there was nothing for me to do. Instead, look around and see what else there is to do and what the Lord is guiding and directing you to do.